Tape is a continuation of the Logan story about the early days at Moberly Lake and out on the Hart Highway.
Today in the village, nobody lived at Federal Bend. Before, there was a man who lived there as a Swede. Lived there years and years ago. Well, might have come in there probably 15 years after Frank Federal came into the country.
Yeah.
Come in there. Frank was the first settler that was ever in there, the first man that ever homestead to settle there. And then the Swede come in there, and he had to homestead right where them Indian graves we're talking about are now. He lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, them there, they had great big tall tatlin poles there that time. Oh, I guess it was really something, you know. Really nice, you know, all carved and everything. Some of them are, they say, 30 feet high. It's all different. Anyway, he didn't, he burnt the grass around there. I don't know if he done it on purpose or not, but he burnt that graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
And there must have been, there must be 200 graves, maybe more than that.
Where's that?
At Federal Bend there, you know, that big graveyard.
No, I sure don't know. I'll find out, though.
But that's a Beaver Indian graveyard, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them, they originated from McLeod Lake when they come in here. You see, that's where they're actually the McLeod Lake Indians. They come across here, go back and forth. They used to have a trail from the west end of the lake, and they went right straight over there to McLeod Lake, across the mountains here. The same from the Halfway River, they got a trail right across there to McLeod Lake. They drive back and forth there from the elbow at 147.
Oh, yeah.
Go through that way, the trail right across.
That's a big
old Lily there. He used to go back and forth there.
Yeah.
But he went across there when I had that place up on the Halfway.
Yeah, those are all Beaver Indians up there.
Yeah.
Very good.
They're all from McLeod Lake up there. But this Swede, not changing the subject, this Swede over here, he burnt that graveyard, and when he burned it, well, these Indians all went on the warpath around here, you see, beavers. And there was a lot of Beaver Indians here at that time. There's nothing left now. They all died off.
Yeah.
Morris Paquette told me, he said, when I first come into this country, he said, there must have been, 700 or 800 Indians on the west end of that lake. Now, I went away for 2 years, and I come back, and there was some disease or something broke out. And in that period of time, he said, there was graves all over that country, and there was only a few Indians left. But he said, I never asked no questions, he said. I didn't ask them what they died from, what happened, or anything else. I never said a word to them or anything. Because he said, I couldn't speak their language. I couldn't speak the Cree language at that time. I didn't speak no Indian language. All I could speak is English. And I was with Harry Garbutt there, so he said, I didn't bother them people at all.
No
way. Ask them anything, but he said there was hardly anybody left.
So
like there was just graves
everywhere. Probably 1918.
Or he said it was either measles or something. Flu or something. Mm-hmm. That's some academic went through the country at that time and killed them all off.
Sure.
But he said they never did build up again after that. That was the end of them. They just kept going down and down and less all the time. Which now there's maybe 10 outside of young kids left. But this Swede, he was supposed to stand trial for graveyard robbery, you see. The police heard about it in Pooscoopy. There was a police in Pooscoopy at that time. And he heard about it, so he wrote him a letter. He told him, he said, I got a complaint from somebody about graveyard robbery from the Indian people who burnt that graveyard and all them tattle poles and burned all them houses, you know, they built houses over top of all those graves. And everything is burnt down, burnt up. So he said, it's up to you. You can either get out of the country or stand trial for graveyard robbery. So they had it all planned here. This Doki, this older Doki boy, but he died a long time ago. He was the one that volunteered to kill this Swede when he come over here. They had a little, every spring, they had treaty time, they had a kind of a little sports over here on the lake. And he was supposed to kill him on this back trail that goes straight across here, and that thicket right on the top, there's a spruce thicket there, and when he come through there, well, he was to shoot him off of that. He rode a mule, and he was supposed to shoot him. He walked through there. That was where he was going to leave him right there. But before they were going to do this, they had a big do down at Sundance Lake, what they call Sundance Lake down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that's where they picked their volunteer.
Yeah.
To do their, to kill the sweep. But anyway, that went on for about a week, a big war dance down there, a big celebration. And that's where that lake got its name, Sundance Lake. It's from that.
Robbing out.
From that sweet.
Apparently, because they agreed that it put more bandits in the robbing out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a graveyard. Bandits is the biggest graveyard in this country, and there's all kinds of graveyards up that Skunk River.
I suppose.
You take that Martin Creek there, all that Cayenne family, the whole Cayenne family put there are all buried right there.
They're beaver, eh?
Except the old man.
They were beaver,
yeah. Yeah. They're all beavers. There must have been 40 graves there. If you ever go up there to, you know, Gene Nicholson, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I call her Gene Nicholson.
Yeah.
She
is
a worker.
Yeah.
But she's a Nicholson.
Yes.
The oldest Nicholson for them.
Very nice.
You ask Gene and she'll show you where the graves are.
She will.
Her husband.
Yeah, I will. It's quite interesting.
Like the McLeod Indians and all them Indians on the other side of the mountains. They never buried the dead underground.
I guess not, no.
No, they built a dugout canoe and they hung it up in a tree.
Well,
you know, and that's where they're all buried, and they put their gun with them and their blankets and teapot and sort of thing.
Yes.
Eventually they're going to get up and take off out of there anyway.
Yes.
And they done the same here for, they still do it, I think. They think the old ones will still do it. They'll take their blankets and their teapot and all their really
belongings,
their rifle and everything is buried right in them graves. Hundreds of rifles buried.
I suppose it.
In here, and the most of them people weren't buried a foot under the ground.
Yeah.
Some of them, the old Chief William, the last old chief, the sole tribe up here, he's buried 6 inches under dirt.
No.
He is to this day, and
where is he buried at?
Buried on the reserve up there.
Which one?
On the north side of that Indian Reserve. There's a big graveyard.
On the flats?
Yeah, right on the flats.
Well, there's a graveyard up there, too.
Yeah, there's graveyards all over this.
Yeah.
You never moved them. And there's another one right here at Tin Town down here where Gochee lives.
Yeah.
Just up on that little hill up there. Mrs. Joe Jim Modias' oldest daughter is buried. Just up on that hill on that side, there's a bunch of graves up there.
Sure is it?
Yeah. Buried her in 1940 there.
That lady?
At that time, there was no ministers or anything.
No,
you didn't bury anybody. You just buried them.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Person died, well, they
that's
made
right.
A coffin for him.
Very valuable after
that.
Died.
Sir, a policeman never even...
Well, I think better... Cut it off, Eric. I'll have to get going. Thanks a lot for the interview. Sure. One of the things I want to know.
We could talk for a month.
For a month. I realize that. Yeah.
Bag.
It's quite interesting. It's one of the better tapes that we have, I'm sure.
So many, many people that I ever even mentioned that lived here, that died here, after I was 30 years old.
Yeah, you'd have to. Have to have another day to think about it, write it down.
Yeah.
Thanks again.